Well, continuing in the book of James and chapter 3, beginning of verse 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
And now I'm just going to pray for Sarah as she comes up to speak to us. Heavenly Father, we just want your spirit to be guiding Sarah as she speaks tonight. May the words that she shares with us speak into our hearts and guide us as we pursue your wisdom. Amen.
Amen. So I was a bit worried when I got this passage because wisdom is not really my forte. But then I'm glad I didn't get last week's lesson on taming the tongue, because as Debbie Price would say, that's not really my forte either. So here we go. We'll give it a go. We'll give wisdom a crack. So I wonder what you would say wisdom is, or who would you say was a wise person? If you've got little children, you might know of Ben and Holly. And in Ben and Holly, there's a wise old elf. And this wise old elf, he gets asked numerous questions by the elves and the fairy in the kingdom. And he seems to always know the answer. Anything, he knows the answer. But that's because he's old, so the fairies would say. Or maybe it's Professor Dumbledore in the Harry Potter books. He's a wise professor. I'm thinking of suggesting to Will that we actually look at some of his quotes, because I think they're quite good. So maybe we could do a sermon series on the quotes of Professor Dumbledore. For instance, here are three quotes that I quite liked when I looked through his sayings. The first one was, "It does not do to dwell on dreams and forget to live." I thought that was quite good. "It's our choices that show what we are far more than our abilities." Ooh, see, this is good. And in the third one, "It matters not what someone is born, but what they grow into." So there we go. So there we are. Next series, if you'd like to come along from Easter, is the teachings of Professor Dumbledore. Oh, dear. Other people that may be wise in your mind may be the Queen or David Attenborough. He's a very wise person. Maybe you'd think of Stephen Hawking, or, as I spoke this morning about, Ruth Lawrence, who at the age of 13 didn't get her PhD, which I said this morning, and Lorna told me that it was her degree that she got at the age of 13, but still probably a very intelligent person. However, we mustn't mistake knowledge for wisdom. I work in a grammar school, which is meant to be filled with intelligent young people. Common sense does not prevail in the Latin grammar school. I do hope that nobody is listening in senior leadership this evening. I teach A-level philosophy. And in my A-level philosophy class, I have 15 students at present. And I teach them the ontological argument, the teleological argument, the cosmological argument, which are all arguments to prove the existence of God. But what is used to prove the existence of God is logic and knowledge. And these students enter into debate. But logic and knowledge cannot prove the existence of God. I can't say to them, here is a list of facts, Here's a list of knowledge. Here's a list of arguments that prove the existence of God. I say you have to rely on faith at the end of the day. And a lot of people, because you can't prove and you can't give facts about the existence of God, they turn away. But as I was preparing this sermon, I was reminded of another passage that talks about wisdom. It says, "Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom does not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, foolishness to Gentiles, but to them who God has called, both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." You see, God's wisdom is completely different from knowledge. God's wisdom is completely different from the wisdom of the world. And so James encourages the listeners, encourages his readers to say, if you've got knowledge about God, if you've got faith in this God, if you believe in this God, well then show it. All the way through the book of James, we've been looking at the way that he presents it. And he says, your deeds have got to show what you're saying. You can't be a Christian that just knows about God. You've got to be a Christian that acts upon God. Your deeds have got to show it. And then he presents to us two types of wisdom. He presents an earthly wisdom and he presents a heavenly wisdom. Now we must remind ourselves that James is not talking to the unbeliever. He is talking to the believer. He is talking to those who are saved. He is talking to those who are walking in faith. He's not talking about a way without God and a way with God. He's talking to people that have got Christ in their hearts, but he's still encouraging them to choose the right way. And so he presents two ways of living. He says your attitudes must be shown. The way that you live will be shown in your attitudes, in your daily behavior. The first one he calls earthly wisdom. And if you're following earthly wisdom, it would be that of self-interest. It would be that of selfish ambition, jealousy and envy, ego, self-promoting, self-worship. And then he goes on to say, actually, this wisdom is satanic. Remember, he's talking to believers. He's not talking to those who are walking without Christ. And the reason why he calls it satanic is because anything that's to do with self is the antithesis of what God wants. And Lucifer, he fell because he wanted it to all be about him. He didn't want to give God the worship. He didn't want God to have all the praise. He wanted some of that himself, and that's why he fell. And that is why the wisdom that James talks about in this book, he calls it a satanic wisdom. It's an earthly wisdom. And this attitude that comes out of earthly wisdom is that of looking good. It's about the individual. Earthly wisdom crushes people. It puts people down. It lies. It's only interested in what I can get out of it. And we see this in so many areas of society. We see it in business where people are crushed, where self-interest is promoted. We see it in schools. We see it in politics. We see it in the church. And the evidence is chaos, discord, tension, hatred, uncertainty and darkness. But then he goes on to say there's another way. There's a heavenly way. There's a heavenly wisdom. And this is pure. This is peace-loving. It's considerate. It's submissive. It's humble. It's full of mercy. It's full of good fruit. It's impartial and sincere. It's a heavenly wisdom. Basically, it's Jesus. This is what Jesus was like. And so James is encouraging us to be like Jesus. Because if you look at the person of Jesus, that's how he went about his daily life. Heavenly wisdom is the antithesis of earthly wisdom, but it's also the antithesis of what we see in society today. Society is about what we can get out of it, how we feel. And yet this biblical wisdom, this heavenly wisdom, this Christ-looking wisdom is about not being about self, but it's selfless. It's a wisdom that promotes others. It doesn't crush them, it lifts people up. It's a peace-loving wisdom. It doesn't go in to create conflict. And actually, it stops conflicts. It shuts conflicts down. It doesn't add fuel to a fire. It's gentle. It knows what to say at the right time. It talks the right thing, or not talks at all, because it listens. It's reasonable and steady. This heavenly wisdom doesn't blow hot and cold or up and down, but it's constant, it's unwavering. It's merciful. One of the parables that we teach our kids at school is the unforgiving servant. And the reason why heavenly wisdom is full of mercy is because those that have received mercy from God knows what God has saved them from. And so they want to put that onto other people. They want to show that to other people. They are forgiven of other people because they've been forgiven much. It's open-minded. It's not narrow-minded. It's not stubborn. It's considerate of others. And when it walks around, it's full of peace. The fruit that this heavenly wisdom gives off is full of peace. The fruit is peaceful. And in a world today where there is so much conflict, peace is the way forward. Now you're sitting here on a Sunday evening, you go, of course, Sarah, we're that heavenly wisdom. We walk like that, of course we do. We come to church, we got the smiles on our faces, we give to charity, we're about serving. We have so many things in our church that people are full of service, and that is great. But we must remember that James is talking to the believer. And the reason why he's talking to the believer is because actually we battle with this every day. No matter how wise we are, no matter how mature we are in Christ, we battle with self every day, do we not? And if we don't, I believe that we're naive to think that we don't. Because if it calls the devil to get thrown out of heaven, then that's what we battle with every day. Self on the throne, and we need to remove self and put Christ on the throne. And it's really difficult because we live in a society where we want to achieve, where we want to do well. We live in Buckingham that is full of potential and aspiration and intelligence and with the university and the schools. We want to do well in business. We want to get to the top. We want to earn money. We want to live well. And that's a good thing. However, there's temptation in all of that. Because as we get further and further into those ideals, more and more self comes evident. The world promotes self, but Christ promotes humility. Now, what does it teach us? Well, first of all, it teaches us that conversion is a one-off experience. Atonement is a once-and-for-all event. We are saved. Once we are saved, I believe that we are saved. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, once and for all, we are saved. However, each day we become disciples, and each day we have to put Christ in our lives. Each day we have to have this relationship. It's not just once we're saved we can live how we like. Actually, every day we need to put Christ back on the throne. It's a lifelong process to become wise in Christ. We might not think we're demonic. You know, how dare the Bible call us, if we put self in the way, demonic? But that's what the Bible teaches us, because anything that is about self is of the devil. And we need to be a people that puts Christ on the throne. And this is really difficult. I believe it's really difficult. It's really difficult to know what Christ would do in certain situations. It's really difficult to have that heavenly wisdom all the time. This heavenly wisdom that knows when to speak and when not to speak, that we looked at last week. This heavenly wisdom that knows when to argue and when not to argue. when to let things go and when not to let things go. We need this heavenly wisdom. I'm going to invite the band back. You may think, gosh, this is a quick sermon, and you're right. Because we're going to do some ministry. I am sure that there are all of us have areas in our lives where we need wisdom. If you work in business, you need wisdom. You need wisdom how to promote your business and do well whilst being humble. If you line manage anybody, you need wisdom in how to deal with certain situations. If you're a wife or a husband, you need wisdom in how to deal with each other. If you're a parent here, you need massive amounts of wisdom to deal with teenagers. I deal with them for 7 hours a day, but you have them a lot longer than that. How do you deal with the teenager? You need wisdom. The church leader needs wisdom. Everybody needs wisdom, and so I believe that God wants to pour out his wisdom on us. You know, a spiritual gift of wisdom. I wonder how many of us want the spiritual gift of wisdom. You know, in society today, when things are so corrupt and things are so dark, we have to be the people that calls that out. In our workplaces, in our schools, in society, we need to be the people that call this chaos and this darkness out. And so you need wisdom in that. My little girl, Xanthia, she loves asking me for things. She completed her sticker chart yesterday because she walked around Stowe without moaning at all. So she got her last sticker on her sticker chart. And so I said, so she goes, what do I get? I said, oh, you can have a little treat. I want a new doll. I want a crying doll. So you can have a magazine. But she will ask me all the time for things because she knows that I'm her mother and that I will give appropriately, hopefully, I need wisdom in that, to my child. And you know, it says right back in James 1 verse 7, ask God for wisdom. This whole book is a wisdom book. And it says, ask God for wisdom, because he gives generously. If I know how to give good gifts to Xanthia, how much more does our Heavenly Father want to bless us with good gifts? And wisdom is a good gift to have. You want wisdom? Yeah? I invite you to stand. We're going to just rely on the Holy Spirit. We're going to ask the Spirit to move amongst us. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to just guide us. What areas does he really want to speak wisdom into? Lord, we thank you that you are a good God. You're a wonderful Father who wants to give generously to us. And you know the chaos and the hatred and the darkness in this world, and you rely on us through your Spirit, Lord, to call out that darkness, to call out that chaos, to call out that evil. But we need wisdom, Lord. We want to be peace-loving people, but we need your wisdom to be able to do that. So Holy Spirit, just move amongst us. It's been on my heart to pray for our church leaders today, and so I encourage you, church leaders, of whatever sphere. Church leaders, just hold out your arms if you feel comfortable and just ask God to fill you with wisdom. You have situations all the time coming to you. If you're, you know, even in the ark, there'll be situations that need wisdom. In CAP, there'll be situations that you need wisdom. Father God, I want to pray for every church leader now. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come upon them, that you'll fill them with your wisdom so that they, at the appropriate time, in gentleness, will be able to speak your truths into situations. We pray that this church, because of our church leaders, will be humbled and be submissive to your will, Lord, so that wisdom may prevail in this place and peace will reign. If you're a parent here and you need wisdom because you just don't know how to handle that teenager or that child of yours at the moment. I stand here with my arms wide open. Lord, I want to pray for the parents here. When peer pressure is so hard and teenagers want, we've got free will and teenagers want to go their way, Lord, I pray for parents here that they will know when to chastise and when not to, when to speak and when not to, when to let go and when not to, so that there is peace in the household. Lord, I pray right now that you will pour out your wisdom into family situations. There's many teachers here. I couldn't be ahead of year without God's wisdom. Some of the challenges that are presented to me and to teachers are incredible. And as Christians, we want to be operating within the realms of that heavenly wisdom. And so for teachers, Lord, for those that work in any part of the school that deal with young people, Lord, I pray that you will give us wisdom in how to handle tricky situations. And the other thing that's been on my heart this afternoon is for those who have family members that aren't Christians, maybe children, partners, parents, and you're desperate to see Christ in their lives and you've spoken about it and it's been rejected. Lord, I pray for wisdom with the unsaved. Lord, I pray that you will help people here that have such a heart for their families to be Christians, to be saved, to be walking in your light. Lord, I pray you'll give them wisdom when to speak and when not to speak, what to say and what not to say, so that there's not that conflict, but that we will see as a result fruit, a fruit of righteousness. Holy Spirit, we love you. Father God, we love you. Lord Jesus, we want more of you in our life so that people can see you through us. Give us the wisdom that we need to be your true people in this place. Continue to fill us, not just now, but Monday morning when we're in a business meeting, Tuesday afternoon when we're speaking to a parent, Wednesday when we're speaking to a relative, Thursday when we're dealing with some conflict, Friday when we're in the shops. May we be a people known for our wisdom, not because of what we know, but because of who we know, and that is you, Lord Jesus. So be our vision, Lord. Be our strength. Be all what we need in the name of Jesus. Amen.